Genesis chapter 4 is where we left off the Wednesday night before last with our gospel meeting. Brother Heaton conducted the morning class last Sunday, or what is normally the period of time for a morning class, and then also Wednesday night. So we're going back a week and a half now to where we left off, and that was in Genesis chapter 4, and we had pretty much finished that chapter. And we remember Adam and his wife Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. And Cain was the type that presented offerings from the produce of the land, the things that he was able to grow, while Abel was able to provide a sacrifice from among his flock. And we all remember whose sacrifice was acceptable to God and whose sacrifice was not. That was Abel's sacrifice from his flock. And it was apparently very evident that God was blessing Abel. It upset Cain. And what was Cain's reaction to this? You know, God even talked to him and said, you know, Cain, you need to, you know, be careful. Sin is crouching at the door. And you must master these feelings that you have. Well, Cain had a talk with his brother Abel about this conversation that he had had with God. And apparently his heart wasn't right when he had the conversation with his brother Abel, because what did he do to his brother Abel after the conversation? Killed him, murdered him. He had the first human death here in the Bible, that of, and it's murder, his Cain murdering his brother Abel. And Cain was punished by being sent away. And as we look here in chapter 4, it's, you know, you see kind of the attitude here of Cain, the aggressor, suddenly feels like he's Cain, the victim. This is like the man that kills his mother and father and then appeals to the judge for mercy as an orphan. You know, I'm an orphan, have mercy on me. Murdered my mother and father. Cain, it's all about Cain at this point. My punishment's too great to bear. You know, what's going to happen if I leave here and someone kills me? So he's all worried about himself when he's actually the one that caused all of this. So he's sent out from the presence of the Lord. Well, to take his place, it's very evident it was, because, you know, as somebody, I think it was Bob or somebody, asked the trick question, who did we come from, Cain or Abel? Well, neither one. It was Seth, the third son, that, quote, replaced Abel. And it says in verse 25, Adam had relations with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth. For she said, God has appointed me another offspring in place of Abel, for Cain killed him. So Seth was the child that came along to Adam and Eve after this happened between Cain and Abel. And just one little point before we move along. How many times when we're like Cain, you know, had this conversation with God about things in his life that weren't right and what he needed to do to, you know, sin was crouching at the door, you must master it. And Cain's reaction was to murder his brother. You know, if I can't be acceptable, then I'll just kill the one who is. Well, you know, things come up in our life too where, you know, sin is crouching at the door, but we must master it. And sometimes instead of making the right decision about it, what do we decide to do? We decide to do something evil instead, or just multiply our evil. Instead of repenting, we just make things worse. And that's what definitely what Cain did in this situation. Right, exactly. Right. Very good. that's, you know, and I'll say I'm one of the worst. I hate being upbraided worse than anyone else. When I was a child or as a husband, it's kind of hard. You know, you get that hard-headed streak. You know, you kind of stiffen your back and feel like, I'll show you. I'll do what, you know, I'm going to do what I have in my, you know, it's hard. It's really difficult. And as Ron says, it's that difference between pride and humility. And, you know, I just hope we always have the opportunity to think things through before we move ahead with that next course of action. You know, have some moment of reflection. You know, count to the 10, realize, oh, yes, this is the better thing for me to do. Just withdraw and do the right thing. So, thank you. Very good. Well, so Adam and his wife had another child and named him Seth. And apparently the meaning of Seth is God has appointed me another offspring. And this was in the place of Abel, whom Cain had killed. And to Seth, to him also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. And then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. This is kind of an interesting comment here, and we'll kind of work back to that. But then men began to call on the name of the Lord. Well, there was already some sacrifices going on. You see Cain sacrificing from the produce of the land that he had grown, and Abel sacrificing from the flocks that he had raised. But now, with Seth and his son, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And then we go into chapter 5, and we kind of see the generations of Seth. But if we go back into chapter 4 a little bit, we see the generations of Cain. After he had been driven out from the land, driven away from everybody else around him, off to a deserted area, and he moved to a land of Nod, which was east of Eden. Now, Nod was a good distance, perhaps, from where Adam and Eve lived and where Abel had been murdered and where Seth would be born and live and raise his family. But Nod, east of Eden, probably wasn't too very far from the family in the sense of modern days. You know, we probably get in a truck and drive there in 30 minutes. But back then it was a great distance away. He withdrew himself a good distance away. But still, if you look at it on a map, it probably wasn't really that far away. And we see that Cain raises his family and the children that came from him, after him, and the things that they did, they were quite industrial and were farmers and into music, one that played his lyre and his pipe, and one that forged instruments of bronze and iron. And then we get to Lamech, and Lamech said, you know, if my forefather Cain was protected because he had murdered somebody, then I'm really going to be protected because he was apparently fashioned himself anyway as a murderer himself, or as a he killed a lad, killed a man and struck a lad, or killed a lad and a boy for striking him. So the reason why I'm bringing this back up, when we read the last verse there about Seth giving birth to Enoch, and then they began to call on the name of the Lord, do you think Cain's descendants called on the name of the Lord? Probably not. They sound like kind of, they have other things that they're doing. They're very industrial, very, they like the musical instruments, they like murdering people, but it doesn't talk about them calling on the name of the Lord. Now, I think this is where we're going to get into something here in chapter 6. I think we can say that Seth's descendants were more the sons of God. And that's a term that we'll see in chapter 6. And I just want to plant that seed at this moment that Seth's family descendants, they began to call on the name of the Lord. But we don't get that impression about Cain's family. Cain was a murderer. His descendants were murderers. They lived away from everybody else. They were definitely children of men. Seth's descendants were more the sons of God. Not to say that all Seth's descendants were going to be righteous, but they were more likely to do so, much like the kingdom of the north and the kingdom of the south that we read about as we get later on into the kingdom of Israel, the divided kingdoms of Israel and Judah. But I just want to make that point of the difference in these two families and their descendants. Chapter 5, we see the generations of Adam through Seth. And it tells us about 10 different generations here. And so here it says, these are the generations of Adam, verse 1. In the day when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. So from here on out, these are the descendants of the ones that were made in the likeness of God. Adam being made in the likeness of God, these are the descendants of those made in the likeness of God. He made them male and female, blessed them, and named them man in the day in which they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years old, he became the father of a son in his own likeness. He was in the likeness of God. He had a son in his own likeness, according to his image, and named him Seth. This is the son that we had just read about that was born to take the place of Abel. So he was 130 years old, just a young fella, when he had Seth, 130 years old. And then it says, the days after he fathered Seth were 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the day that Adam lived were 937 years, and he died. Remember, he'd been told, if you all take of this fruit, you're going to die. Well, it's happened now. It's 930 years he's been on the earth, but it's finally happened. And he's experienced a lot of trials and tribulations, and the promised death has finally come. And of course, they'd already witnessed death by this point, as we all know. But now it happened to the first man, 930 years, and he died. Well, we know about Cain and Abel and Seth, and it tells us here he had other sons and daughters. And living 930 years, I'm sure he did have other sons and daughters. And we'll talk about that again here in just a few moments, too. We're probably not talking about the average home of two or three kids, or even the old-timey families that some of us came from, where there may have been up to 15 children. We're probably talking about a considerably larger family. We'll talk about that here in a little while, too. Seth, the third son, lived in the one that we all come through. Seth lived 105 years, and he became the father of Enosh. And we'll see, too, some similarities in the names between Seth's descendants and Cain's descendants. And just like we have two Logans in this congregation, and numerous Jims and Jimmies and Bobs and But Seth lived, young whippersnapper, 105 years old, became the father of Enosh. And then Seth lived 807 years after he became the father of Enosh, and he had other sons and daughters. And again, he dies to 912 years old. So he outlived old Adam. No, he didn't. Not quite. 912, but he was getting pretty close. But 912 years, and he died, but he had other sons and daughters. So you can imagine, if he was having children at 105, he probably, he had a lot of sons and daughters. And then his son, Enosh, lived 90 years. He started his family early, 90 years. He became the father of Kenan. So Enosh has a son named Kenan, and then after he has Kenan, he lives 815 years after that and had other sons and daughters. During that 815 years, he had a lot of time to have more sons and daughters. So all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. So not quite as many as his father or his grandfather, but 905 years. And his son, Kenan, he became a father at age 70. Wow, we may be having a social problem here. They're having children earlier in life, age 70. He became the father of Mahalalel. And after that, he lived 840 years and had other sons and daughters. And he got an earlier start, too, so he may have had a few more. And all the days of Kenan were 910 years, and he died. So he lived a little bit longer than his father, but not quite as long as old grandfather Adam. And Kenan died 910 years. Well, Mahalalel, he got started even sooner at age 65, at least the one that we know about. Jared was his son. And so he fathers Jared. And after that, he lives 830 years. And he had other sons and daughters, too. And so when he died, he was 895 years old. Well, he was cut short a little bit. 895 years, and he died. Then Jared, his son, he was a late bloomer like some of us. He waited until he was 162 years, and he became the father of Enoch. Of course, he could have had children before that, but Enoch is the one that we follow. And that's when Jared was 162 years. And he lived 800 years after that and had other sons and daughters. And so all the sons of Jared, all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Wow, he's the oldest one yet, Jared. 962 years, the oldest one recorded. And he died. And Enoch, when he was 65 years old, he became the father of Methuselah. And, the labors of children and husband, being a husband, yeah, he got to live a little longer. I think he just got elbowed, didn't he? Yeah. Then Enoch, after 65 years, became the father of Methuselah. And I think we've all heard about Methuselah, everybody talking about being old as Methuselah, talking about when you see somebody. I used to think somebody in their 50s or 60s was old as Methuselah. And now I have as I'm approaching some of those, getting a little bit closer, I'm starting, oh, that's pretty young. That's pretty young. We have some Enoch was a very special person here, and we're going to talk about him. We're going to come back and talk about him, but I'm going to go ahead and move ahead and kind of make the point I'm working on here. Enoch, he lived only 300 years after Methuselah, so his days were 365 years. He didn't have as long upon this earth, but he had something even better, and we'll come back to that, and I think everybody's familiar with that, but we'll come back to it. So he wasn't around quite as long, but I think he had a much deeper footprint than those that lived into their 900s. Methuselah lived to be at 187 years, he became the father of Lamech. And then he lived 782 years after he became the father of Lamech. He had other sons and daughters. And Enoch had also had other sons and daughters, too. But Lamech had other sons and daughters. So his days were 969 years, and he died. So Methuselah is the oldest recorded person in the Bible, 969 years old. He outlived his father Jared, who had outlived everybody recorded up to that point. Or his grandfather, Jared, excuse me. Says Lamech lived At 182 years, he became the father of a son named Noah. And he lived for 777 years after that. Or excuse me, he lived for 595 years after that. And when he died, he was 777 years old. He had other sons and daughters too. So the point that I'm making here by all of this is the longevity. People will say, different things like, maybe since the earth was free of diseases, they were able to live longer. Maybe since they were the offspring of God, they were able to live longer, in the likeness of God. We can speculate about a lot of things. But I think the answer is clear, and I don't really want us to speculate about a lot of other things, because a lot of things that the world will speculate about don't add up to hill of beans. It's just all speculation when it's all said and done. And what we want to believe, a lot of times, or something that sounds kind of attractive. Oh, yeah, we like to hear new things and think about things. But, I it's very clear, I think, that this was God's means of populating the earth. We had a huge earth here, and we start out with Adam, and then we get Eve, and then they have children, and then so this period of time they had other sons and daughters. They populated the earth, and we talk about the father, being such and such an age when he started having children, and he had other sons and daughters. We make it sound like the father is the hardy one, but I can't help but being my mother's son, help think about the wives. They had to be pretty hardy too. They were the ones that were giving birth to all these children as we populate the earth. And of course, don't always know how many wives. We know that Cain's descendant, Lamech, that he had two wives. So, there could have been some of that. But they were populating the earth during this time. And also, one of the points that Bob and Sandra make in the book is that perhaps this is a good way of imparting wisdom, in the earth during this time. The earth is new. Everybody's new. Everything is new. So if you're living to be in your 900s, you're probably accumulating some wisdom and learning things that you can pass on to the other generations. Adam didn't have a lot of wisdom that he could pass along to his sons. Not much older than they were. He was about as new as they were. And so this would have been a good thing, too, for just accumulating some wisdom and knowledge to pass along, but populating the earth. This is how we're populating the earth during this time. Right. That's a good point. He had some true experiences. Edith makes a good point. He could tell them about the introduction of sin and what's pleasing to God and what's not pleasing to God and the consequences of not being pleasing to God. Yeah, you're right. That's true. Good point. But we've populated the earth here in chapter 5. And, of course, in chapter 4, I don't know how much, Cain had a good head start on Seth, so we probably had a few more of the sons of men than we did the sons of God at this point. But anyway, the earth is getting populated during this time. Now, as we go through chapter 5, we have looked at 10 generations. And, a point that needs to be made, and this is a point that Bob and Sandra made too, is that, we've looked at 10 generations, and there could have been some generations between these generations. I know it says that, but we just need to keep that in mind. It does talk about so-and-so fathering so-and-so and living so long. But as we look at other generations in the Bible, sometimes, when in the New Testament it was telling the descendants of David, we know if we go back and look at the kings that there are some that were missed, and there we kind of jump to the major ones. And so as we add up these years, it's not going to be exact numbers. And that's something to keep in mind too. And I'll talk a little bit about that here in just a second too, as we're adding up some of these numbers and some things of interest that come up when we add up these numbers, but we still need to take that with a grain of salt. Going back to verse 19, as we're introduced to Enoch, it says the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. He had given birth previously to Enoch, along with other sons and daughters. Verse 21, Enoch lived 65 years, became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the sons of Enoch were, all the days of Enoch, excuse me, were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And here we have, you know, just a very brief mention of apparently a very great man. As I said earlier, a man that left deep footprints. He was a man to be emulated even in his short time on earth, which is an important lesson to us. It's not the longevity of our lives, but it's the service to God that we have provided during those years, the way we've lived for God during those years that make the greatest impact. He was one of the youngest men to die, 365 years, but he walked with God. And it said he walked with God 300 years after the birth of his son. I have a feeling he didn't start walking with God with the birth of his son, but I think it's pretty much a way of saying that his entire life he walked with God. He followed after something better, even than, you know, this isn't said of all of his ancestors and his descendants that they walked with God. They were more the type to walk with God, I think, than Cain's family would have been. But Enoch, he walked with God 300 years. And he was not, for God took him. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11. This is that great hall of fame of men of faith. And, you know, here even in just these few verses that it tells us about Enoch, we can learn just a little more. Here in chapter 11, it starts with the men of faith. And our first man of faith is Abel, because he offered a more worthy sacrifice. And then the second man of faith that's listed here that the Hebrew writer would want us to know about and to emulate is Enoch. And it said, by faith, Enoch was taken up so he should not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So as you read back, don't leave Hebrews 11 yet, but as we read back and we see this about, you know, what does this mean? That he was not, for God took him. Well, he was not means that he did not die. He didn't have the natural death, the end of his life at 365 years was not an early death, because he was so faithful that God took him up, that he wanted him with him. He did not have to die a normal death. And this tells us, as we look here in Hebrews 11, a little more about this inspired writer of Hebrews would have known about Enoch. And he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. So Enoch lived, served God, and he knew that he served God. And that this obtaining the witness before he was being taken up. And it talks about verse 6 about faith. So Enoch would have been, we read and we quote chapter 6 a lot about faith without faith, it's impossible to please him. But if you look at it in the context here, who's it talking about? Enoch. Enoch was a man of faith. By faith, Enoch was taken up. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So every time we hear that verse, and every time we quote it, which is a good verse to quote, very good, it's never taken out of context, but if you look at the context of it, it's talking about Enoch. And so we can think back on Enoch and what a man of faith he was. And he's a rewarder of those, that God is a rewarder of those who seek him. Enoch certainly found his reward by following after God, by walking with God. And just think about the impact that that made on the people around him. Not only did he live by faith and he walked with God, but on the day that Enoch was no longer among them, he was taken up. I think that, that was certainly a witness to that generation, to the people around them, too, of Enoch's faithfulness, that something different happened to him by walking with God. Look over in Jude also, while we're there in Hebrews, just a little further over. And verse 14 and 15, it's talking about the evil men of the time, and even verse 11 it says, "Woe to them! They've gone the way of Cain." Cain's descendants were certainly not known for being sons of God, were they? It's talking about those that would do evil and follow in the ways of Cain. And then, and all of the things that they're like hidden reefs, caring for themselves. They're like clouds without water, carried by winds. Autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted. Wild waves of the sea, casting up their own shame. And it says in verse 14, about these kind of people, also Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord God came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." So here we see a little bit about the work of Enoch, how he walked with God. It says here in Genesis chapter 5 that he walked with God, and here in Jude chapter or in Jude verses 14 and 15 we see, you may want to make a note of this, how did Enoch walk with God? It tells us here in Jude 14 and 15 it says he prophesied, "Behold, the Lord God came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all, convicting the ungodly," and it mentions ungodly several times here. Enoch was a preacher. He was a prophet. He was crying out to his people to turn from their ungodly ways. He walked with God. And so we see the ungodliness that existed in the time of Enoch, and how he was a light in the world, how he spoke out against these things, prophesied against them, and told how the Lord would execute judgment on those that were ungodly and persisted in their ungodly ways. So here we find out a little bit about the life of Enoch and how he walked with God, how he tried to cry out to the people to get them to change. Right, very good. Right. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, among other places, walk as children of light. Does, when we walk as children of light, does that mean we just let everybody else do what they want to do? And no, as walking with God, walking as a child of light, he was upbraiding, encouraging those around him to turn from their ungodly ways. You know, it's that's hard to do. It's hard to do. I've not quite perfected that, and I want to get the right spirit about it, too. how do you help somebody? How do you say it the right way, say the right thing? And but that was part of it, and that's how Enoch walked with God. Thank you. Right. We're all stewards of the talents that God gives us. That's true. And how we use those to His glory. And how we can do that in our walk with God and encouraging others. Thank you. So Enoch was one of only how many people that did not see death? Two. Enoch and Elijah. Very good. And we'll study about Elijah much later from now. Not too much later, but it'll be a while yet. So Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And that idea of walking with God, what a beautiful thing, and how God favored him because of that walk. Then getting back to, we went down through these 10 generations here from Adam to Noah, and Lamech, when he was 182 years old, he became the father of Noah. And remember, there could have been other children ahead of time, but these are the ones that we follow. It's not always we can't presume it's always the firstborn. Lamech named his child Noah, saying, "This one shall give us rest from our work and from the toil of our hands, arising from the ground which the Lord has cursed." So Noah was, Lamech felt like he had a special child here, gave him the name of Noah, said he'll give us rest from our work, from the toil of our hands, from the ground which the Lord has cursed. And you remember when the Lord cursed the ground, that was because of man's sin there in the garden. The ground was cursed, and we weren't always going to get good things from the ground. We were also going to get a lot of bad things from the ground, too, that we'd have to weed out. And so Noah, he was kind of, his father had high expectations for him. And Noah was 500 years old and became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So he had three sons, at the time he was 500 years old. We won't go too very far here, but we'll go ahead and we can, in chapter 6, this will blend in with what we've already been talking about. It came about when men began to multiply on the face of the land and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, whomever they chose. The Lord said, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he also is flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and was grieved in his heart." He said, "I'll blot out man." Well, points I want to make before my nemesis, Terrell Boyette, rings the bell. Here in chapter, he always puts an end to it right when I'm getting to a point. But yeah, we'll hurry and do this. Without further delay, chapter 6, the men began to multiply on the face of the land, daughters were born to them. So this was men in general, I think not just the descendants of Seth, but also the descendants of Cain. They were multiplying the earth. You know, all these other sons and daughters, and all of these years that they were given to do that in their long lifetimes. It says that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful. They took wives for themselves, whomever they chose. The sons of God, the point I tried to make earlier was I think we can say the sons of God were the descendants of Seth, the ones that called out on the name of the Lord, called out to the Lord, the ones that walked with God, not the descendants of Cain who were murderers. But they saw that the daughters of men were beautiful. Now, you know, this could be any daughter, you know, but I think it's saying that the good people began to mix with the bad people. And unfortunately, when the good people mix with the bad people, mate with the bad people, mix with the bad people, the better qualities are not the dominant qualities. I think we see that in society everywhere. If you associate with bad people, they don't suddenly become good. Unfortunately, you suddenly begin to become bad. And that's some of what happened here. It's not that angels came down from heaven and fathered children with the daughters of men. When we talk about sons of God here, we're not talking about angels. You'll turn on the TV, you'll read things that, oh, that's what a thought. I never thought of that before. And let's not be too quick to fall for things like that. That's not what it's saying. We know that the angels neither marry nor given marriage, and so that's not what it's saying here. And there goes my nemesis. And so what it's talking about here is, I think that the good people were marrying the bad people, and what qualities were they looking for as they were choosing their mates? Oh, the beautiful ones, like we are today, isn't it? They married whomever they choose. They saw that they were beautiful. And this began to really wear on God as he saw the quality of his people diminish as they intermarried and the bad mingling with the good and the good becoming bad. And it really bothered him. And he said, my spirit's not going to strive with this. I'm not going to continue to put up with this. And he says, his days shall be 120 years, talking about man. And it's not, you know, even though we'll begin to dramatically see the age of men, the lifespan of men decrease, I don't think this is saying that the lifespan of man is going to be 120 years. Now, we're going to see some later generations that live to be about that old, but I think God was saying in 120 years, this is it. There's going to be judgment. So, we know that God gave Noah some time to preach, and we'll talk about that on Wednesday night, I guess. And so this 120 years is not talking about the lifespan of man, I don't think. I think this is talking about how much longer before there would be some judgment. His spirit's not going to strive within him for much longer, the Lord says. And this Nephilim that talks about here, those are giants. Well, yes, giants are described as Nephilim are described as giants, but not every Nephilim was giants. One of the ways it's also defined is tyrants. And we see that that's some of the problem here with the evil of man. And but these were mighty men of old, men of renown, people that went down in legend, these Nephilim. But doesn't mean exactly that the world was inhabited solely by giants. So keep that in mind when the world talks about things too. There were giants during that time. We know that. But it wasn't the superior race, so to speak. But we do know that the wickedness of man, that their heart was filled with wickedness. And that's all they ever thought about was how to do wicked. And we'll stop there. Thank you, Terrell. I have to talk nice about him.